Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Beep, boop, beep, bop, boop, boop. Hello, Dory.
Should we just use that as our theme music from now on?
So good, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just like it. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Welcome to episode 52 of this show.
The last episode of 2018.
We've made 52. One per week.
Yeah.
Incredible. Not to toot
us.
Our own horns here.
Toot
but
away.
Honk, honk.
So, yeah, I mean, we decided to be totally self-referential today and talk about the podcast.
Yeah, just to kind of sum up what we've done.
Yeah.
Where we're going, how we do it.
How we do it. We've got a lot of questions about how we do it.
Yeah, not like, how do you have it all, but like, how does this work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does the sausage get made?
How does the pod sausage get churned through? So should we just jump into it?
Let's do it, Kate.
Well, I mean, just in terms of checking in.
Yeah.
I will say I've kind of been reflecting since we are at the end of the year on what this podcast has kind of brought to my life.
Yeah, same.
I will say new podcasting equipment, just very matter of fact. I now own a microphone.
Yes. And you own a recorder. You own headphones.
Finally, I've got it all. but I do think like I have gotten a little bit more tapped into myself, which has been really interesting. And we'll talk a little bit more about this on the following episode because we're going to be reviewing some intentions, you know, next week. But I do feel like a little bit more in tune with my needs and also talking about things that I normally keep hidden.
Oh, okay.
Like, for example, I don't think I would have ever talked about hemorrhoids. I don't think I would have ever even told you I had hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Now I've told the entire world. But also, like, my sleep has improved or not even has improved, but I'm more conscious of how I can have better sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading more. I feel like I've learned so much from our guests.
Yeah.
That we've had on the show. And obviously you and I have connected deeply on a new level, which has been really incredible. And, you know, we've tried a lot of products.
Yeah.
And I have realized, you know, they're not going to solve anything for me.
No.
They feel nice, but they're not the answer.
No, but it can be a form of self-care to like try out products.
Oh yeah.
And
oh hell yeah.
Go into Sephora and, you know, ask for samples. And
a year ago when we started this podcast, I did not wash my face at night.
Yeah.
And it's not even a matter of like, now that I wash my face, my skin has improved, but more like, oh, now I value myself a tiny bit more and wash my face.
And your skin does look great.
Look, well, I want to tell you, I did try out Skin Laundry.
Oh.
Because Eva Chen recommended it.
Uh-huh.
And it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, what happens at Skin Laundry?
I couldn't tell you what they call it, but my experience was I was zapped, and then there was a light that flashed a lot, which is a light, some sort of light therapy. I had to wear goggles, and then I got something called a hydro boost for my face, which just kind of blasted, and it was tickly. It was very tickly.
Interesting.
But I feel like I'm going to go back.
And, you know, you probably wouldn't have tried that without the podcast.
No way! No way. Can I tell you one more thing I tried this week?
Yes.
I made focaccia bread.
And it's delicious.
And I felt such like a loving, I've just been thinking about my relationship to food and how beautiful it is that you can make something by hand, and my kids participated, and then I brought it last night and I fed people and it was such a, it felt really poetic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where I'm at a year into doing this pod. I made bread. I like to sleep and I wash my face.
I mean, I really feel like this podcast has changed my life.
Go on.
I mean, 2018 has been a year of change.
What
for
a whirlwind
me.
For you.
What a whirlwind. I was not expecting this, but I welcome it. I quit my job. I've been working full time for last time I was, I was freelance was like 8 or 9 years ago. So that was big. And I devoted myself to the podcast full time. And it really feels like, oh, this is what I'm meant to be doing.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It's really cool. And yeah. I've gotten to see you step into some roles that you might not have stepped into.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk a little bit more about.
Totally.
Kind of the things we do behind the scenes. But
just as a little preview, I do feel like it's kind of a great union for me of like my creative side and my entrepreneurial side.
You also have a producer side that I don't know if you know about, but you're a good,
thank you.
Like in a good executive producer.
Oh, thank
like you're
you.
Very organized. You're a good, you're on, you see the big picture. You're kind of on top of all the
thank you,
plates being thrown in the air.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah, I guess I don't think I ever thought about it that way, but now that you're framing it this way,
reframe that narrative.
I've reframed a lot of narratives.
That's all we did all year was just reframe.
I love our listeners.
Dory.
Like, I love the Forever 35 community.
The fact that we can even say that there is a Forever 35 community.
Yeah.
Never stops to blow my mind.
Yeah. And everyone is like truly wonderful.
Thoughtful, helpful.
Yeah.
Constructive. Instructive in your feedback.
Yeah. So kind of gaining that has been big for me this year. I also love that we've gotten closer.
Great friends.
And I also feel like I had a really hellish first trimester of pregnancy, and I do feel like the podcast helped me through it.
Did it just kind of give you something to focus on?
It gave me something.
Yeah.
If I hadn't had it and I was just freelancing, I don't know how I would have functioned exactly. And, it also helped in the months leading up to that when I was still doing IVF. And it was not the best time for me kind of mentally or emotionally. And having this place where I could just kind of talk about this stuff that wasn't the podcast I do with my husband
about IVF
and let me think about other things. I don't know. It's just been like a really nice anchor for me all year.
Well, ships ahoy. That makes sense. Great. I love hearing that.
Yeah. And I think it's also made me more mindful of some of my self-care practices that I didn't even really identify as self-care practices.
Yeah.
Like reading in bed.
Right. It's interesting when you're like, oh, I actually do care for myself in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, my skincare routine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like going to yoga, like all these things that, not that I took them for granted, but I guess I never felt super mindful about them. And I think the podcast has made me more mindful of just how I choose to move through the world.
I also think like our guests and listeners' willingness to share and be open and vulnerable and questioning, and I mean, that's just been really meaningful to me.
Yeah.
That we invite people into the space and they open up on such a deep level and are just very giving of their time and their information, and that listeners call in with advice for each other, or that listeners trust us with questions or concerns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very, that means so much to me.
Yeah.
And both
it's
of us.
Amazing.
I mean, we talk about it literally every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Let's keep that going in 2019.
I would love to do that.
Kate, let's keep the podcast going.
What if we were like, and we're done. Thanks, guys. Bye. No, yeah, I think I'm really excited to keep working on this with you.
Yeah, same.
And I feel like we're starting to hit a stride.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk more about in terms of like the production element of what goes into the show, is that it has been a learn as you go experience.
For sure.
Certainly for me, I have never podcasted in my life other than being on other people's shows. And it's just, I mean, there are times where we're just like, what are we doing? Who knows?
Yeah.
But we have figured a lot of stuff out, which has been very, very rewarding.
And empowering.
Yes. And also we've made a lot of mistakes, which has also been fun.
Totally.
And challenging.
Yeah.
But it's all been very rewarding.
But I think it has also shown me that a lot of times our gut instincts are correct.
Yes, that is definitely true. And I also suspect that I could stand to have more confidence in myself.
I think you've developed more confidence.
I'm finding
in yourself.
It. I'm digging it out with a tiny shovel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's there.
It is there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Well, we're going to talk more about, again, how the podcast sausage gets made.
Yeah. We'll break it down.
Take a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there. Especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. So Dory, we had wanted to talk, you know, do an episode just kind of breaking down how we make the podcast. So
yeah.
That there's transparency to what you're listening to. But then we also recently got a listener question that kind of addressed this.
Yeah. The listener like kind of read our minds.
It was like
actually.
They knew that we wanted to talk about it and then just sent us the most helpful question.
Totally.
So here's what they wrote. Since you're both so transparent on the podcast, I'm wondering if you could give some behind the scenes details on how you manage the podcast. I imagine it's a massive undertaking given content production, interviews, recording, distribution, correspondence, advertising, etc. How many hours a week is devoted to the podcast? Who does what exactly? How do you divide the workload? Do you always agree? And how does this all fit into your amazingly diversified lives? Thank you. With families, kids, Dory, so excited for your pregnancy.
Thank you.
Outside projects and travel. There is so much going on all the time, and I am fascinated and hope you will share. So.
All great questions.
Let's just tap in from the beginning. So,
yeah, well, let me just go. Preface this by saying that we recently hired an assistant.
Who is Lane. Here today. Hello, Lane.
Hello, Lane. And it hadn't totally dawned on me like just how much we do for the podcast until we were explaining to Lane what her job is.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then you have to do this, and then there's this, and then every week you have to, and I was like, oh, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So we hired Lane to come in and support us because we were overwhelmed. There's a lot to do. Because the podcast is you and I.
Yep.
Sammy is our producer. So they record episodes with us and edit them.
Yeah.
So that means that Sammy takes the files. We listen to the raw file of every episode. Dory and I, we send back edits. Sammy then makes those cuts. Sammy adds all the music and that sort of thing and sends us back the file.
Yeah.
We created our own website. Yeah. Just trying to kind of think of all the elements that we have. In addition to the website.
Yeah.
We've got social media accounts.
Social media accounts. We have a Twitter account, an Instagram account. We have the Facebook group. We have a Facebook page that had been kind of dormant for a while that now Lane has resurrected.
And we should add for the Facebook group, we have amazing moderators.
Amazing.
Who help support that group and keep it running.
And our kind of main mod over there, Heather, is just such a delight.
Just fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, that's also, we don't kind of actively mod the Facebook group, but I am kind of actively in the Facebook group.
Yep.
And just kind of, I'm always like keeping an eye on
as
things.
As we've established, I have to just remove myself from most Facebook activity.
Which is fine.
Thank you for supporting me in that.
Yeah. So social media, as you know, as I'm sure everyone listening knows, social media can take a lot of time.
Shockingly so.
Yeah. And you know, our Instagram, we've kind of gotten into this groove of like the main account is kind of like funny
Dory
sayings.
Dory's
and
back
memes
behind
and,
there mastering those memes.
And then we also always post when the new episode is up. And then in our stories, Kate, you're much more active in our stories.
I love the stories.
You're great at
I
them.
Have anxiety about the I can do an episode post on Instagram, but like a meme post, I sit there for 45 minutes.
Oh, interesting. So in terms of like how an actual episode gets put together, we have a kind of general outline for the full length episodes, as I'm sure people have like picked up on.
Yes.
They follow a similar format. We usually do two shortish segments that are just us for like the first half of the episode. And then we have an interview and then we end with intentions. So that's kind of the template. And then every week we go in and we update it based on what we want to be talking about. And Kate took the initiative to create an edit calendar.
I mean, a poorly managed edit calendar right now. I need to sit down with it and give it some love this week.
Well, for a very long time, it was sort of like the night before. I was like, what do you want to talk about this week?
We did. I mean, I will say, and that was not for lack of not wanting to create great content. We were just busy with this.
Totally.
It was shocking. Like all of a sudden it would be 24 hours before we were set to record. And we were like, what do we want to get into this week?
Yeah.
And now we have kind of outlined the next couple of months, which is all flexible.
Totally.
But it helps us. It just helps me be aware of like what's coming up.
Yeah.
You know, so that we are looking at our lives and thinking about what we might want to be talking about. Yeah. And also helps us kind of, you know, keep on top of who we want to try to reach out to be on the podcast. We will get to that in a little bit.
And all our documents live in one email account on Google Drive.
We're going to try to make that a little bit professional, but yeah. Right now we are in Google and we also use Trello.
Yes. Which has been helpful.
Yeah.
I think
that's actually really worked for us after kind of some trial and error finding a, like a project management site. Trello is kind of where a lot of stuff lives and we create a new board for every time we record any episode. So I should say that we don't, a lot of times we have to record our interviews with guests separately from, you know, what you're hearing right now. So occasionally there's stuff that's kind of all over, you know, we're piecing together episodes. Sometimes we do it all in one big shebang, but
Although that has been rare lately.
Yeah. And also like you in your first trimester needed
some
like less intense days.
Yes.
Which is fine with me.
And then there was also a period where we were banking a lot of interviews.
Like
There were a couple of weeks where we had interviews every day.
There were a couple of weeks where we probably interviewed 3 to 4 people in a week. But then it really helped because then it lightened the load later. And that also depends, you know, so can we transition into guests?
Yeah.
So we book our own guests.
Yep.
That's all us. And sometimes we do have people either reach out to us about themselves or a publicist might reach out to us. Other times we're reaching out to people. And this year we are really trying to broaden that. Certainly, obviously, the kind of people we've been pulling from this year are people in our kind of world, which is why, as you've noticed, it's a lot of writers.
Yeah. I think we've been, if I can like self-assess, I think we've been pretty good with racial and ethnic diversity, but we haven't been great about like professional diversity.
Totally.
Like, and I have talked about this.
Yes. And I think that's
something for 2019 that we want to work on.
I think getting more diverse on all levels is a continued
age. We've had a couple of quote unquote older guests, but I would love to have more guests who are like in their 60s and 70s.
And we welcome all
80s.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Right.
Anybody's grandmother want to come on the show? We love getting guest suggestions.
Yeah.
But because I will tell you, like a lot of times guest outreach, there's a lot of just kind of like menial labor that goes into that. So tracking down who to contact, sending the first outreach, the follow-up, then coordinating of schedules. Sometimes, you know, someone's assistant is coordinating. Sometimes we have to reschedule with a person if they get too busy. So there is unfortunately a lot that goes into nailing down a guest. Also, not everybody wants to be on the podcast.
Totally.
As much as we have guests that we would love to have on that we know listeners have reached out to us about, we can't get everybody.
Yeah.
Busy Phillips, you're hotly requested.
We have tried.
We did try for the Busy Phillips, but you know, Busy Phillips is making a show and selling a book and being a parent and wearing cool hoop earrings.
Yeah. Busy Phillips has a lot going on.
Yes, but the door is always open for a Busy.
Indeed.
I loved your book. But needless to say, like sometimes we'll get a request. It's like, hey, please have this person on.
Yeah. And we're like,
but it means like we have to figure out like, how do we even reach this person?
Yeah.
If we send an email to this email account, does anyone even see it?
Right. Sometimes we luck out because like someone's assistant listens to the podcast, or, you know, you never know if there's like a random person in the office who happens to be a fan.
Yeah.
But a lot of times with, especially with like more well-known guests, they haven't heard of us. And so it's a little bit of a hurdle, to kind of sell us.
You did try to get Cynthia Nixon on.
I did.
Yeah. And that was, and we had a contact.
We had a contact and she just like ended up not, and like stopped responding.
Yes. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Like we get it.
But you know, maybe if she had been on our podcast,
she would have won.
I mean,
that we were the deciding factor.
I'm just saying.
So I don't know if that answers the guest question. Or just how we do guests.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, yes, we want to try even harder to have the most diverse guests possible on all levels. And we welcome, we got a great email today about some STEM related guests.
Yeah.
We're going to look into those.
I mean, another thing that has changed and kind of opened up our guest horizons is for a while we were only interviewing people in person.
Yes, but
so
then our technology advanced.
Then our technology advanced. So that was limiting us to people who were either based in LA or who happened to be coming through LA.
Oh, yeah. That's an important point to mention.
Yeah. Whereas now we will interview people by phone and it's totally fine.
Yeah. We only kind of got comfortable with the phone technology, I would say, like 6 months, 8 months into doing this
podcast.
Yeah.
Because we early on, we had done a couple of phone interviews that the quality was not that great. And so we were like, oh, if this is going to be the thing,
yeah,
like we should just do them in person, and then we kind of figured out how to do it and it's been fine, although we do tell people, please don't do the interview in your car.
Yeah, we do still, and like a landline versus a cell phone.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is crazy.
And I don't even have a landline anymore.
I know, but landlines are so much better.
Oh my goodness. You know, if we're all gonna be podcast guests, we gotta get landlines. Dory, so distribution. So let's see, production, content production, interviews, recording, distribution, that we use a platform.
So we use a company called Art19, mm-hmm. That hosts our podcast. And the way that the podcasting world is set up is you submit your podcast to Apple Podcasts. And once Apple Podcasts approves your podcast, it kind of automatically goes out to a bunch of different podcast apps like Overcast, Pocket Cast, Downcast. They all use Apple Podcast API. So any podcast that's on Apple Podcasts will also be on these other apps. Now, there are some apps like Google Play, for kind of obvious reasons, doesn't use Apple Podcast API. So you have to submit your podcast separately to Google Play.
Same with Spotify, right?
Yeah. Well, Spotify is kind of an interesting case because for a while, Spotify was curating their podcasts. They weren't like accepting applications. And then they opened it up and let you submit. But they have a kind of like wonky thing where they cache your podcast, C-A-C-H-E. And from what I understand, the average podcaster has a lot of trouble getting stats from Spotify. So, and the way advertising works in podcasting is it's based on the number of listens and downloads that you have. So if you have trouble getting stats, that means that it looks like your podcast is much like less listened to than it actually
right,
is.
Right.
So our podcast is currently not on Spotify. I've actually submitted it to Spotify, but I'm not like hot to trot on getting it on there just because of this stats issue. And there's so many other platforms to listen on that, yeah, I'm kind of like, whatevs. But yeah, but that's distribution. I mean, anyone can submit, as long as your podcast is in the correct format and has artwork, anyone can submit a podcast to Apple Podcasts. It's very democratic.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
But that is something we do. We pop it into this.
Yeah,
Art19.
We put it up in the server. And
we
then
write the description, which Lane is now helping with. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then I should say, going back to the website, one thing we do try to do is make sure every product that we mention is on the website. So the actual production of the blog posts requires some time commitment. If you've never,
this,
both of our jobs in the past have revolved around doing this, luckily. So we, I think, are able to kind of, we have a sense of how to do it, but it still takes time.
Yeah. And also we, as we disclose on the website, we do use affiliate links, which generate some revenue for us. So getting those links for each product is like another step that we have to do.
Yes. But we appreciate that revenue because that goes toward the greater good, and then we can pay the people who work with us.
Yep.
How about advertising, Dory? You want to talk about advertising?
Sure.
As I like to call Dory, Dory is the VP of ad sales for Forever 35.
On my other podcast, we use a company called Midroll that is kind of they operate as an agency that sells, that places podcast ads on a lot of different podcasts. And so I was kind of familiar with like how podcast advertising works.
Thank goodness, because I was not.
Even though I hadn't been selling our own ads, I just kind of,
I knew the terminology.
I knew the terminology. I knew how much we were making from them. And so we started getting approached by advertisers very early on. Our first advertiser was tripping.com.
Yes.
And they approached us before the podcast even launched. So
they were fans of your podcast of Excellent Adventure.
So that was exciting that like right away we had interest from advertisers.
And I think we should say that's rare.
Yes.
We've had a lot of, I think, things happen with Forever 35 that are like very fortunate situations that not everybody finds themselves in.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I think that is definitely fair to say. And you know, I was actually inspired by an episode that Call Your Girlfriend did about kind of how their podcast sausage gets made. And I remember one of the things that they said was, if you know your value, don't compromise on it. Like decide what you're worth and that's what you're worth. And so we charge a little bit higher than the average podcast charges for our advertising. Not substantially higher. It's not like double, but it is a little bit higher. And I would say most advertisers are fine with it because our audience is so amazing. But there have been a few advertisers who have pushed back. And by and large, we have like held our ground. And by and large, they have capitulated. Again, that's been like a really empowering thing for me because I think like as women, we're often more uncomfortable talking about money and...
Or we give in real fast.
Or we give in quickly.
I'm speaking only for myself, but I feel like I'm like, sure, I'll do this for $2, no problem, bye.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it for me was it felt like we had nothing to lose by asking for more. You know, like we had so many people interested in advertising. We like it just felt like, no, this is what we're worth. You know, I had always worked in editorial my whole life. I've never sold ads. Like that has never been something that I've done. And it's been really interesting for me to kind of take on this role. I don't think I will be doing this forever. Like I think we will eventually have someone else selling our ads. Just because it is a lot of work and like it's not my primary job.
Right. And and it's not just the selling, the correspondence there, you know, there's the back and forth, there's booking the dates. There is then the onboarding call where we hop on a phone call with an advertiser and hear about the product. We get for most advertisers, they will send us some sort of sample of the product at no charge for us. So we can try it out and speak to it because advertisers really like a personal
endorsement. Yeah. I mean, you know, while we're talking about ads, I should also say we don't endorse anything that we don't believe in.
Yes.
I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. Like we've turned down advertisers because we've been like, no,
doesn't feel like a fit.
It doesn't feel like a fit. Like we're either familiar with this product and we don't like it, or we've researched your product and we don't like it, or, you know, we tried it, we don't think it's good quality, etc. So I just, you know, I want to just like reassure everyone that that is the case.
Yes. But one thing that was interesting we got a listener question about was like, what's the difference between like a product that we're like, I love the ice roller that we talk about on the show versus a product that is mentioned in an advertisement? And the difference is on the episode, we are talking about things that we ourselves just happened upon and liked. And then on an advertisement, we are being paid by the advertiser to advertise their product.
But there's also a third category.
There is, which is people send us stuff for free.
Yeah.
And we can try it and talk about it.
Yes.
And I think.
But we, there's a lot of stuff people send us that we don't talk about.
That's true. But we always try to mention if someone, if we're talking about a product.
We mention if people sent it us for free.
Yes.
Versus, versus us buying it.
We really do try to make sure everybody knows what the deal yes. is, right? We don't want to make it seem like we're just pulling a fast one.
No. But, you know, we also, something else that we did this year is we became an official business.
That's right. What a year for us.
Yeah.
We did a lot of stuff we didn't think we were going to do a year ago.
like Forever 35 Podcast is now a business registered with the state of California. Like, we are a partnership. And that's been exciting too.
Yes, because now we can have official business expenses.
Yeah.
Which means when I went to Skin Laundry, I put it on the company card. So that we can then talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. So like stuff like that is I wasn't expecting us to get here.
No, Dory, I literally thought we were going to make a podcast. Maybe 1,000 people would listen.
Or like, here's another thing that I learned. Like when we hired Lane, like we're paying Lane as an employee, not as a contractor, not under the table. And so we had to learn very quickly about like payroll taxes and workers' comp and, you know, all these things.
Specific to the state of California.
Specific to California. Some of it specific to LA. And that was also, it was like, oh, I need to find a payroll company. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like all this stuff that I'd never done before. That was kind of cool to like figure out how to do. Now, all that being said, there have also been things where we're like, no, this is something that is outside of our capabilities and we need to wait to have someone else do them, such as touring.
Yeah. So there are some things that have come up, touring, merchandise, things that we would love to do that we currently don't have the bandwidth or the, know-how.
Yeah. And kind of, I think we know enough about what we don't know to know that taking these things on would be a huge learning curve for us.
Yes. And we've looked into it, and people also, some people reach out and are like, hi, I work for this t-shirt company. And I think we'll get there. But honestly, right now we just don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah.
Cause truly our focus is to make the podcast.
Right.
Which I should say we most often do in one of our homes or a studio that Sammy has access to.
But lately it's been one of our homes.
Yeah. Like we're currently in my, at my dining room table.
Yeah.
Purchased at IKEA. It's a great table.
Oh, it is a great table.
I love this table. Love you. Okay. Calm down, Kate. Dory, let's see what else. How many hours a week is devoted to the podcast?
People always ask me this and I never know what to say.
Well, because there's no, we're not tracking our hours.
Right.
And because it's sometimes I'm up till midnight doing something and other times I don't think about the podcast for 4 hours. It's just, we're always answering emails. We're always on.
Yeah.
It's the kind of like, you're just, because what we do is putting content out into the world.
Yeah.
And there's so much social media elements involved.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny. Like, I feel like when people say like, I'm always on like for work, it's almost always like it's a negative, like, oh, I'm like tethered to my email. And with this, at least right now, it still feels like exciting.
Well, and I will say it's nice. Like, I was on vacation with my family and I was able to like publish, you know, just hit publish on the blog post. You know, I sat for 30 minutes one morning and did a little work, and being able to do it so remotely is really cool and satisfying. And that doesn't, you know, and then I was able to shut down and
totally
focus on vacationing. But
it's also, I think it's also like we're doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it for another company or for a male boss who doesn't care about us, just saying as an example.
Yeah. So I don't know how many hours. I would say at least 25.
Yeah.
And some weeks it's more.
Yeah.
And some weeks maybe it's not as much.
But what's great is like we do have flexibility. Like we record during the day while Kate's kids are in school and I come over her house like after rush hour and you know what I mean? Like
we're very fortunate that we're able to kind of figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
How do we divide workload? I feel like it's kind of organically just taken shape.
Yeah. Like you have been doing the mini episodes.
You know, I love the mini episodes.
Yeah. And you're good at them.
Well, we should talk about what goes into those freaking mini episodes.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do that, I'm doing the thing where I get distracted and then I just jump onto another topic. Dory handles all the advertising. Again, I'm like loosely floating around the ether.
I make you get on the calls with me.
I like doing the calls.
I'm like, at the very least,
I can be there to hear about the thing. We both handle correspondence.
Yeah.
We both handle guests.
Yeah.
But I've been kind of more documenting it.
Yeah.
I would say. What else do we have to do for the podcast? I've been doing the blog post and the uploading. You handle the Instagram.
Yep.
We both order the Postmates for lunch.
We both send in edits.
Yes.
We both listen to the episode.
That's important to me.
Yeah.
There, I think there's been like one time, maybe because we've both been like unavailable because of like a trip, where I haven't listened to some part of it. But I feel like, and I often listen obsessively like 2 to 3 times.
I don't.
I do. Like one thing that we figured out is that before I publish the episode, I go back and I listen to the whole episode to make sure everything, all the cuts have been made and all that.
And
Dory was like, what are you?
I mean, I probably should be doing that, but I usually will just make sure that like, if on the first draft, like an ad was in the wrong place, I'll make sure that it got put in the right place. Or I think because to me, like, there have been very few edits of our conversation that I felt so strongly about.
Right.
That it's like, if this got left in, like, would my life be over? And I'm sort of like, meh.
And see, for me, it's a dread-filled perfectionism that I'm going to disappoint you.
Oh.
And it's not that you've given me that. This is the culture of my brain. That the Prozac is not fixing. Just kidding. I'm working on it in cognitive behavioral therapy.
I don't know. Is there anything else?
Yes. Do we always agree?
Almost always.
Yeah. Actually, that's been kind of terrifying. Like, I'm waiting for the day where there's some sort of blow up. And not really, like, I think we're going to have a battle, but we've been pretty simpatico.
Yeah. And I think also for me, one of the nice things about, like, being 41 and like having worked a lot of places and now having my own company is like, I feel like I have learned to pick my battles. And so like, if Kate has an edit that I'm like, I don't really think this needs to come out. I usually won't say that. I'll just be like, okay.
But you have one thing that is helpful is you're like, hey,
sometimes I will ask.
Yes. And I'll be like, I think I sound stupid.
And I'll be like, I don't think you do, but we can take it out.
Yeah. But we haven't had, I don't think we've had massive conflict. I think we're pretty in sync and also pretty good at communicating.
Yeah, I do too.
Which we're very lucky about.
Yeah. And we're usually like, I would say we're almost always in sync about advertisers too. Mm-hmm. Like whether or not we want someone to advertise on the podcast. We're usually in sync about guests.
Yeah. And in sync about where to order lunch.
Totally.
I don't feel like we've had... But I also think it's good to not always agree.
Yes.
That's not what we're going for. How does this all fit into our lives with families, kids, projects, travel? Dory and I share a Google calendar.
Oh, yeah.
We have access to each other's Google calendars and we have our own Forever 35 calendar.
Yes. Although we have it set. So like, I don't know what Kate is doing like between 3 and 5. It just says busy. But because for a while, like with scheduling, I just wanted to be able to like schedule a call. I didn't want to have to like, you know, go back and forth about who was free when. And so for me, I think because this was something that like we did at BuzzFeed, people would just look on your calendar and be like, oh, you're free at 1. I'm just going to schedule you for a meeting. And so I was like, let's just have access to each other's calendars and we can just start doing that, which has been a help.
It's been very helpful.
Yeah.
And I think the way with outside projects, I will say like my writing, it's taken a back burner this year for me. And there was a project I started, then I stopped it because it just didn't really make sense. Now I've started a new writing project. Dory, you're in the middle of one.
Yeah.
We had started some Forever 35 writing that we've kind of put on the back burner for the time being. Just kind of waiting for that to, we want to focus more just on recording this podcast. So our other projects, we're trying to do them at the same time. I mean, for me, I don't want to speak for you, Dory, but time management is really challenging. And, you know, right now in my life, I've got my two children, and my husband's work this year has taken him traveling like in just a really intense way that we're trying to make work as a family. That's been really, it's been really hard on him. It's been, you know, it's really hard. It's not, it's temporary, but it's kind of the whole year. So I've been juggling a little more of the home stuff, and I will say my husband's a really great like 50-50 partner.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But not when he's not here, it means it falls on me. So managing my time has been really challenging for me this year. And I'm also a naturally disorganized person. So it's just been, you know, a little bit of a lot. But I will say one thing we're able to do, like with travel, is because we're making a podcast, we're able to kind of record ahead of time if we know that we're gone. You know, we are able to kind of accommodate each other's schedules, which is really helpful.
So, you know, I'm excited for the next year.
Me too. And we really, we do not take this for granted that we have this opportunity to do this. It's such a joy.
It really is.
I feel so lucky and grateful to get to do it with you.
With you.
With Sammy and Lane.
Yeah.
With our dogs. I mean, that's another thing we should say. In order to record at Dory's house, I had to become best friends with her dog.
Yep.
That required a lot of training sessions.
It did a lot of cheese.
A lot of cheese. So, you know, that's not necessarily podcast related, but that's another thing that went into the production
but
of this
now
podcast.
Now, Bo loves Kate.
He does. I give him so much cheese.
So his little tail starts wagging as soon as he sees
his tail is little. It's like
his
2 feet long.
Big tail starts wagging.
If there are any other questions I think people have about how we make, I hope we've clarified kind of how we make this. If anyone wants to ask any other questions, we would like to be as transparent as possible. So please do hit us up.
Yeah.
You know what I say.
Zap us
on those grams. And let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we've got a very special interview.
Very special.
Our guest today is the producer of Forever 35 podcast, Sammy Junio.
Oh my.
Welcome, Sammy.
Welcome, Sammy.
Wow, thanks, guys.
Who's been here from the beginning.
Yep.
Sammy, let me read a bio, which you just noted its size. I think it's impressive. Sammy Junio is a co-executive producer on Netflix's upcoming show Historical Roasts, which will be out in 2019, and a podcast audio engineer and producer. You may know Sammy from the credits of this here podcast because they produce Forever 35.
Hooray!
Yay!
Additionally, and perhaps most importantly, Sammy loves dogs. You can find them on Twitter at Sammy Junio, at Sammy _ Junio, or on Instagram at it_your_Sam. Sammy? We're so pumped.
I'm pumped. I also just realized that I'm very underscore heavy in my handles.
Yeah, I noticed that
you
when I was putting
underscore.
This,
I got to get those spaces together. In.
You could have just made them all one word.
I could have.
But it defines each statement. Sam is always very pleasurable to write.
I liked it
that
a lot.
That wasn't your handle when we first met you, though. No, I change it a lot. I get a wild hair in my bum and I decide to change it. But It Your Sam feels pretty good.
It's pretty
cute. It feels very you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I like to think of, don't want to take ownership, but it is nice that you are our Sam.
Yeah, of course. That's part of it, yeah.
Sammy, we're so excited to talk to you. You have been a requested guest.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, many listeners.
Many times.
Because oftentimes you are featured in the background where we make you laugh, which brings us a lot of joy, or you're petting one of our dogs.
Of course.
And producing the podcast. So let's start from the beginning of who you are. Because one thing we know, we honestly don't know much backstory of your life.
No, we get backstory in dribs and drabs.
We get tidbits that pop out in conversations.
Yeah. Sammy just casually mentions things like, oh, well, I used to be a massage therapist.
Yeah, so let's start there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because how do you go, one, you who I know now, I have a hard time imagining you as a massage therapist.
Although you are a very caring and like I could
empathetic.
See, yeah, empathetic human. So I could see how that would translate into being a good massage therapist.
Yeah.
But how did you land on becoming that?
How old were you? And then, and what was that journey like?
Okay.
And then how did you go from there?
Well, wait.
Okay.
Well, okay. When I was younger, my mom would actually ask me to massage her like feet and head after like we did like meals and stuff and after everything was put away.
And wait, you're the youngest of?
Five.
Five. And yeah. Your next oldest sibling is?
My brother, who is 4 years apart from me. And then the next sibling is 15 years apart from him.
Wow.
And then it's like 3 and 2 with the other ones.
So it was basically like you and your brother,
mm-hmm.
and then the other siblings were like...
They were like yeah. off being teens and adults.
Off being like 20-year-olds.
Wow. Okay.
Living life.
Okay.
But same Sorry. Parents for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I would massage my mom's feet and head for like, I think I was like 10 years old to like 16.
Is that something you were like okay doing?
Oh yeah, I loved it.
You liked it.
Because I just like... We didn't hug a lot, or I wasn't hugged a lot, but like when I was like massaging my mom's like head and feet, it was just like nice physical contact yeah. and stuff. Mm. Yeah. So that was happening. And then I graduated high school. I decided not to go to college, and I was like sitting in my friend's like living room basement situation. And I saw an ad for a massage therapy school called IntelliTech Medical Institute. And I was just like, oh yeah, people do this. And then I just went and I did
Where were
thing.
You living? Where did you grow up?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
So you were there. It was mm-hmm. the massage school in Colorado Springs?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like off of Academy Boulevard.
If anyone wants to go.
Yeah. Shout out to Colorado Springs.
And so how many hours, because becoming a massage therapist is no joke. You have to put in a ton of hours, and then don't you have to do... Like, aren't there hours after of actually the massaging?
Yeah. So I don't remember how long. I think it was like a 16-month course, and it was every day. And then we had like a clinical like quarter semester or something where there was a clinic in the school. So we would just go there and work like a lot of hours. I've totally forgot. It feels like a different lifetime at this point.
It kind of is.
Yeah. Totally.
And how many years or months or how did you what was your life like working as a massage therapist?
I did massage like I do podcasting now, which is like referral based. So I was never like I never had like a full-time like
you never
schedule.
Worked at a spa or anything.
No,
because like
okay. I don't really like that situation. So I had like one or two clients in Colorado and then like one client when I moved over here. So it was never like a full load. But it was fun. I liked it, kind of.
When did you decide, okay, this isn't what I want to do with my life?
I think once I graduated, I was just like, yeah, I don't think I want to do this. Because it just like, and like, no disrespect to people who are massage therapists now, but I just felt like it was such like an like middle-aged person job. And I
were
like.
Were you the youngest person in the...
No, there was one kid younger than me, and he was a little bit of a nightmare.
Oh.
Yeah. He was like 18, and I was like 20, 21. Yeah.
How was it? The interesting thing to me about anyone who provides a service like massage, like you are a person's self-care. Like you're mm-hmm. providing not yeah. just like a service, but an experience that's supposed to be... Like there's an expectation attached to it a little bit.
Yeah, totally. It is fun. And I like actually recently massaged somebody, not a full body massage. And I was just like, oh, this feels good. Cause there's this certain connection that you have as the therapist, massage therapist. And just like, it just feels good. Cause like you tune in and it becomes a little meditative, but you're still like connected and also like just communicating with their energies as well. So it became like a self-care practice for me as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But you moved out here. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think that you, why? Well, first of all, why did you move to LA?
Just cause I wanted to. My, my parents were moving from Colorado to, California. Cause that's where my dad's job is. And I was working at Radio Shack in Colorado Springs. No, at this point I was in a movie theater. And I was just like, this isn't fun anymore. So I moved back in with my parents and then we moved out to LA.
And how did you get into podcasts?
I met comedian Mo Welch
In
2012.
Mo is your intro? Cool.
Mo Welch is like to blame for my entire life right now, which is fantastic. But we met and she invited me to a couple of her comedy shows. And then she like slowly was just like, do you want to help like seat people or like, do you mind sending emails out to these people? I was just like, yeah, sure, fine. And then she had a podcast called Women Aren't Funny with Alana Johnston and Emily Candini. And she was just like, hey, do you want to produce this podcast? I was just like, okay. I didn't have any experience whatsoever. And it ended up my first like official night on the job. I was recording a live podcast.
Oh, God.
With the three of them, Beth Stelling, Ike Barinholtz, and Bob Odenkirk at iOS.
Oh, God. And That's a lot of pressure.
It was so much. I had to buy the gear and learn how to use it like that day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Sammy. Yeah.
Just thrown into the fire.
And did it go off without a hitch?
No. That recording is so bad. Like, for the first, like, 6 months, like, everything was so bad. But just, like, learning how to do it was fun.
That's crazy. How did you even know what to buy? Like, did you just Google podcasting?
No, somebody told me to get, like, an M-Box. And so I was like, okay, I have to get an M-Box. There's six people on here, so I have to get a six input M-Box.
Oh my God, I can't believe this was your first recording.
Oh, dude, I was so sweaty and like things were like falling into place during the recording, which felt good, but then like yeah, it was just so nutty. So yeah, I bought all of that and I hooked that M-Box into my computer, learned how to do GarageBand. And like troubleshot. It was great.
But did you also have a moment of like, oh, I'm good at this? Like, oh, this like work like fires off all the right receptors in my brain?
I don't think I had that until like recently where I'm just like, I'm pretty dang good at sound and stuff. Like it just like I just when people just ask me to do stuff and I say yes, then it's just like, okay, I'll just do the thing.
So you're entirely self-taught?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's fun. Yeah.
Didn't think I realized that.
Surprise.
How many podcasts do you work with now?
Like produce wise, mm-hmm. I think four. Okay. But then I also work as an engineer in a booth. And so there's just those like walk-ins and stuff too.
I just want to get back to like the feeling of just now feeling like you're good at a thing that you've been doing since 2012 or 13.
2012. Yeah.
It's really interesting to me. Like, I feel like there's always so much pressure or just like this cultural assumption of like, it doesn't take that long to get good at, like, it shouldn't take that long when really, like, it does take years to build up not just like skill at a craft, but like that feeling where you're like, oh, I'm starting to master something.
Yeah.
Like, did you have a moment where you were like, oh, I could do, like, I've got this. I am good at this. Like, I'm the one who can be teaching people how to do this.
I think it was actually a moment when somebody asked me how to do something and I, like, could rattle it off without having to be like, oh, wait, what do I do? I was just like, oh, yeah, this, I guess I'm good at this now.
I mean, I can tell you're good at it.
Thank you.
But that's interesting that you just figured that out.
Yeah.
There aren't too many women or non-binary people in podcasting.
No, there's not a lot of that in like the tech world in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's that like?
I think it's, I mean, it's fine. I just, my like gender identity and stuff like isn't something that I talk about a ton. So there isn't like a lot of like, oh, cool representation from Sammy Julio. Look at how boss they are. So, I mean, I just float
should
under the radar.
Should we start doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. You should just flaunt it a bunch. It's also just weird just being a sociable person in that field where it's just right. Like we are behind the scenes and we're in like in the booth all the time.
I know, but you are an outgoing person.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an extrovert?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I strive in like very social situations. Even if I'm not like the center of attention, I just like the overload of energies to like navigate stuff.
How did it feel then taking on the role of a producer on a TV show?
Being on set, like, we didn't have like actual like working roles, so we were kind of just like walking around and being social, and that was okay, but I definitely would have preferred like having a job, because like when you are just like there but like you have a title, people are super nice to you, but you're also very useless, and I don't really like that feeling at all.
TV is such a weird industry. There is just like people who are just there, like they are working on the show, but they also don't necessarily have an assigned task. Well, hold on, let's pause and get back to how you even got to make a Netflix show.
Yeah, so
because this was like one day you were just like, I might be making a TV show. And it was like, holy shit, which is hard to accomplish. Like, we should say it's a huge feat to get an idea through the process of turning it into a TV show. Like most don't make it that far. So the fact that you are an executive produced a show that's going to be on Netflix is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And you very casually.
And they were like, yeah, I might not be around for a couple of weeks. And you're like, what?
I'm the executive producer on a Netflix show.
Surprise, guys. I gotta go. Which is like how I give news to anybody. Just like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm engaged. So
you're not really engaged.
No.
Have you ever been engaged?
I went to Las Vegas one time and married somebody.
What? Sammy, what? You did?
It was a joke.
Wait, but you got legally married?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did you have to get legally divorced?
Oh, no, we're still married.
What? You didn't know this, did you?
No.
Oh, my God. Is this your ex, or is this like someone who you were having like a fluke relationship with?
We never dated, but we love each other very much.
Wow.
Wait a second.
How did the, were you just in Vegas, or you were like, let's go to Vegas and get married?
Oh, gosh. So
were you drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I know.
We were hanging out one evening, and my parents live in Las Vegas, so just like, let's go to Vegas. And so we just drove up, we hung out and ate dinner with my parents at the Palm restaurant, and then we spent like two days just like drinking like gross blended drinks, and then like we wandered over and we were just like, how much is it to get married here? And then we were like, okay, let's do it. And then we did it.
I can't help but ask, because you know I'm a romantic comedy person. Sure. Were you having like a whirlwind weekend romance where you were like, this is a good idea?
And was it your idea or their idea, or kind of both?
It was our idea. Because like, okay, so
this is romantic.
This entire thing. Oh, buckle up, Kate.
Okay, I'm so excited.
So I met this person at their house because they were throwing like a pregame party for Pride. And the funny thing is the friend that took me there was like, in the back of her mind, she's just like, Sammy's going to like this person. And if she likes this person, then I can use that to have Sammy introduce me to one of their friends. So I was part, this like crazy connection was part of someone else's plot.
It was like a scheme?
Yeah, it was a scheme. And I was thinking about it the other day, like, I don't remember how I met, oh, I have to change names. Stacy is the one that that introduced me to.
Stacy was the plotter.
Wife. Your wife? Holy shit, you have a, you're married.
I don't remember how I met Stacy at all.
Stacy's the person who
Stacy was the plotter, or Stacy?
Stacy's the plotter.
Okay.
Did Stacy and the person Stacy wanted to meet ever get together?
Yeah. We actually all lived in a little apartment in West Hollywood.
After you got married?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, no. The person I got married to, like, stayed with us, but then they got kicked out because everybody got sick of us.
Holy shit.
Okay, wait. So you met your wife at this party.
Yep.
And you became best friends, but you never dated?
No. So we met at that party, and then we didn't see each other for forever. But I tried. Like, that was like one of the first people where I was just like, oh, I should try for this, because she's great. But yeah, so we didn't talk for a while. And then I randomly was down by her work because she worked at a restaurant. And I went there with an acquaintance and a friend. And she was working that day. And then...
You went there knowing she worked there.
Yeah, but I didn't communicate that I was coming down or whatever. So
cool.
Oh, yeah, gotta play it cool. But she ended up being working that day. And then I was just like, oh, I'm tingly all over again. And then a couple weeks or so after that, she was back in West Hollywood, hanging out. Because we were all, friends by then. But she was, having a rough time with her girlfriend that she lived with. So they broke up, and then we went to the Abbey, and then she just came over and just stayed in my room with me for a little bit. And then she was in between places. She was couch surfing, but she was mostly just hanging out with me. And then things just heated up between us, and then
Oh, I love a whirlwind romance. But then you got married. Mm. And then did you stop dating each other? Or stop? You never dated?
No, we never dated.
And you've dated other people since then. You've had a serious relationship.
And do they know that you're married?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait. Not my girlfriends? No.
Oh. But now everybody will.
Hello, Forever 35 listeners.
Sammy is a catch.
I'm also married. And you're...
Do you and this person ever talk about getting divorced?
No.
Oh my god, I gotta write this book.
Dude, it is so good. This one is good, and then the story of the first time I fell in love is also good, but very, very dramatic.
Wow. Will your wife, it feels insane to say that, to know that you're married. Will they be mad if that you talk about this, or because we're not identifying them, there's no way for anybody to connect any of the pieces?
I don't know how many Forever 35 listeners are also our friends, so I think it's fine.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
If not, whoops. I guess we will get a divorce.
This is my...
I was not expecting this.
Oh, me neither. I thought we were going to be talking about Sammy's cool hair product.
Surprise.
Which we can't... I would love to know more about. But you know what? I love it so much because I do think you're such an interesting person to me, Sammy, because you're both impulsive, but also really grounded. And I do feel like it's kind of the embodiment of who you seem to me. I mean, I don't know you.
Maybe Sammy and Sammy's wife are their one true parent.
Well, now I can't fucking handle it because you know how I feel about romance. It's listeners know I talk about romance all the time. Oh. I love romance books. Oh my God. What if someone in our life is you should tune into this podcast, Forever 35. We've never had a revelation like this.
No.
On the podcast.
But I think it's appropriate that Sammy had a revelation like this on our podcast. Should we switch gears and talk about, I could talk about Sammy's romantic situation,
marriage,
this whole podcast, but I think for Sammy's sake maybe we should move on. Sammy, one thing we wanted to talk to you about was your tattoos, which are many.
Yes.
And amazing.
Thank you very much.
When did you get your first tattoo?
I gave myself a tattoo.
Is that the first one?
Yes.
Ooh, ouch.
I gave myself a tattoo, and it is in my shoulder. I'm exposing myself to Dory and Kate right now. It is a cut. I used a razor to cut into shoulder an X, and then I rubbed India ink in it. And then one of the legs got infected, so it peeled out. So all I have is a line on my arm. The plan was to do it across my arm and be like, cool. I sewed my own arm on.
Oh, that's a good bit.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you were straight edge.
Oh, nope.
And then I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense.
not your drunk Sam. Nope. And then I got this lightning bolt from my friend Michael Trujillo because he got a tattoo gun, and he was just like, does anybody want to come over and get tattoos? I was like, yeah, sure. And then I went over and got that. And then my first professional tattoo is Kate's favorite tattoo, is a Tegan and Sara lyric. And it says, the magic you bring in between all you imply. And I got that when I was 18.
And we should say these are on both
half
of your
the
arms.
Quote is on Sammy's right arm, mm-hmm. and then the other half is on Sammy's left arm.
And we had a moment where we had a guest who mm-hmm. knew Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
And then this revelation that you are like were a mega Tegan and Sarah fan. Which you have two Tegan and Sarah tattoos, right? Or do these count as two?
This counts as one.
Oh, that's one. But there's another one, right? Or am I crazy?
You're not crazy, but I only have one.
Okay. Do you regret any tattoos, or are they all? And also, how have they been part of kind of your self-care and growth as a person?
I don't take tattoos that seriously.
Yeah, that's
the self-care part. I think the self-care part is like when you're getting it, it feels pretty cool and good. And then like the after, like when you're like taking care of it and like rubbing your own skin and like looking at the healing process, like that's fun and nice when you're like tuning in to yourself. But yeah, it's all just nonsense, silliness. Like the Tegan and Sarah lyric, I thought at the time was just like deep, like the power of the words you don't say, or reading in between the lines. But now I don't even
don't even notice that they're there.
I can't even read. The lion on my arm actually is from a temporary tattoo that I got when I was with my nephews at an arcade, and we got like these like very small temporary tattoos, and I got the lion, and I was just like. I went to my tattoo artist who did my arms, and I was just like, can we make this cool? And he was just like, yep, come on in later. And then 2 weeks later, I come in, and he has this thing that's as big as my forearm.
Oh, my goodness.
And has a top hat, a monocle, and a bow tie.
And it's smoking and a cigarette.
And I was like, you put it on me.
It's great.
It is great.
So that one actually has meaning. All the other ones I just thought were, like, cool.
I mean, we should say you have Johnny Depp's Winona Forever tattoo, which
I
is
do.
So rad.
I do, but it's for Winona Ryder, definitely not for Johnny Depp. He's a jerk.
No.
But yeah, I guess everything that I have like does have a little story, but I never like had a long time of thinking about getting it.
I love that one.
Okay,
what is that guy
on my left upper arm, my bicep-y area, is a Banksy piece. And I liked it because it has the person in a diver's helmet holding a bird, and I was like, oh, what a cool juxtaposition. And then when the tattoo artist was up at the helmet, I asked if he could put in red so it looks like a Roman helmet.
Yeah,
because otherwise it would have just been black.
It looks really cool.
Thank you.
Cool.
Sammy, let's talk about also your style. Your sartorial style.
Okay, here we go.
You have great style.
You have great style.
Thanks. I'm still like right now. I'm like kind of zeroing in on what I like. I think a lot of my style up until now has been like, oh, this is stuff. Well, I know what I don't like, and then what I get is stuff that I settled for. Mm. But it's mostly just like tight jeans and t-shirts and stuff. That's the style.
But now you're evolving towards a more kind of deliberate style.
Yeah, I think so.
And also a little dressier a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 30 now, you guys.
You're all grown up.
Yeah. I mean, ideally it would be Indiana Jones when he's in professor mode.
Oh, yeah.
Is ideal. But I haven't found any wool things that feel cool.
Well, it's also like... warm here for too much wool.
I mean, I would sweat it. I would sweat through it.
Like a jacket with those elbow patches?
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
Like a professor look? I'm down.
Where are you shopping these days?
Mostly I've been finding a lot of good tops selections at Zara. Mm-hmm. But
oh, interesting.
Their bottoms are a little weird, cuz like in the men's section, like they have like this weird like front crotch like distance where it's just like there's a little zipper and then like inches of fabric until the like actual like seam, which looks silly. So they're not great for pants, but
it's like hanging down.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like, because I wear men's pants exclusively because they just fit better, but yeah, not other brands like do that weirdness. It's just that design flaw.
Zara. Get your shit together. Yeah.
I mean, seriously. For real, get your shit together, because they do a lot of bad things, I think, right?
Yeah, they don't treat their workers very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I should stop going there, but they have good sweaters.
That is the conundrum. And also, like, price point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Uniqlo has really good t-shirts.
Yeah, they are great. I don't know how Uniqlo treats... I don't know much about their, like, company history. Do you know?
I don't.
No, but they have... Yeah. I like a Uniqlo.
It's very good.
You brought one product on the table.
Yeah. Well, because, like, my grooming and shower, like, process... isn't I have a pump action bottle of shampoo from Aussie.
Great.
And then my body wash is Old Spice Bear Glove.
Ooh. Oh. Bear Glove.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What is harness the wilderness?
What is a bear glove? Like a trap, like the people making these deodorants. A bear glove?
I think it's bear glove.
I mean, I bet it smells
good. What does it smell like? Can you describe it?
It's like, it's kind of Irish springing.
Mm, that sounds good.
But it has a little, like a tiny floral in there. Just okay. A tiny
like
bit.
Like a touch.
Yeah, just like a little sprinkle. Hint.
And then okay. A lot of bear and a lot of glove.
A lot of bear glove in
there. But we should say, like, do you have short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wash your hair daily?
I do now because I started going to the gym in a journey to be a jock.
Sammy,
to get jocked.
You did describe yourself jokingly as a jock.
Yeah.
And you said,
what are you doing at the gym?
Yeah.
It's cardio every day. And then right now I'm focusing on upper body stuff and like slowly incorporating lower body because I do have a partially torn meniscus and ACL.
Ooh, from what?
I was at a concert and I was jumping up in the air and somebody like kicked the side of my left knee and my knee didn't straighten before I landed. And so like, yeah, vicious popping in there.
Ooh.
And then that was bad. And then I think about like 2 years ago, I was flipping over in bed and re-tore it.
Oh, God.
Or tore something else.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, backtracking here.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's intense. How long have you been doing that for?
Like the beginning of the, no. For like, I think it's been like 10 days.
So is that something, you turned 30 recently.
Uh-huh.
Did you have kind of like, not like an aging revelation, but just did that like refocus your goals on how you want to treat yourself and your body?
I've been thinking about like getting a gym membership recently, but honestly, it was like a Black Friday sign up deal where
Great.
It was like a dollar to sign up. And I was like, okay, now it's time. But yeah, I think, yeah, I can't get away with how I eat and stuff. So it's just like, yeah, I should probably just start eating better and going to the gym.
Getting more sleep?
Nope.
Okay. We'll get you there.
Yeah, if you follow Sammy on Instagram, Sammy, it's a lot of late night
It's
discussions.
You also love beer pong.
I do. I haven't played beer pong since I turned 30, though. I feel weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you like leaving your 20s behind, do you think?
No, I just, beer has made me feel, it's like this weird thing where it has made my like blood feel blurry or like kind of like fuzzy.
Yeah, because it's alcohol.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
your blood feel fuzzy?
Yeah. I mean, this is like how I'm describing it, but like, it just like feels like sludgy. In
yeah.
There. Like I feel really sludgy after I drink beer. Still drinking, but
that seems like somewhat sensible.
Yeah.
Can we just circle back to this hair product?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So wait, you're describing, you're in the shower. You have a pump of soap, of
pump
the Aussie
action.
Shampoo.
Shampoo. Uh-huh. And then
do you do any sort of like face wash, face moisturizer?
Because
your skin is the skin of an angel.
Oh, thank you very much. My face wash is the St. Ives apricot scrub.
Mm.
And then my lotion is Jergens Classic Scent.
Great.
And that's an all over face, hands, feet.
Head to toe.
Mm-hmm. Just slather it up. Sometimes coconut oil when I'm feeling saucy. And then the only thing I really do is like mess around with a product in my hair.
Because you have cool hair.
Thank you.
But
yeah,
that's,
you do.
It's not annoying to me that your hair might be naturally cool. Like, does your hair just do a style on its own or does the product help a lot?
No, when I don't do anything to my hair, it's a bowl cut. So I have to really spruce it up a little bit.
How often do you get your hair cut?
I don't get it as often as I should because it's so short. But I go like probably once every 3 months, but I should go like
every like 7 weeks or something.
Especially because like a short cut.
Yeah.
Like the neater, more like tight and trimmed it is,
the better.
The kind of, I mean, no pressure. I mean, this is not critiquing. No, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. So the hair product that I have is one of two, of course. So that's good. A tea tree shaping cream. And that is the stronger hold of the two items I use.
Ooh, it's John Paul Mitchell.
Yeah. He's a tea tree guy.
So is this like a fancy thing?
Yeah, it's like $20 for a puck.
It does look like a puck.
Yeah. And then the other thing is a Floyd's brand Layrite. And that's like real. It feels like a little dense mousse.
Is Floyd's like the chain of barbershops in LA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where I go. I used to get haircuts at Floyd's specifically, but not one hairstylist or barber. But I recently found this guy, Yer, at the Hollywood Floyd's. And the second that I went in, like, he just knew how to take care of my hair. And yeah. Like, was like, I could tell that he like put in a lot of care and it was very detailed. And like, I have not.
That's the best feeling.
Back. It feels so good. Cause like generally before I like went a year, I would get a haircut and it would be fine, but I would just be like, okay, like, I guess I'll just wait for the grow out for it to be right. But once I walk out from Yer's chair, I'm just like, oh yeah. This is it. I'm ready to go anywhere.
It looks dope.
Thanks.
Sammy, I have a kind of meta question for you.
Yeah.
How have your thoughts about self-care changed since you started producing this podcast?
Yeah. Have they changed?
Yeah, have they changed?
I think about like face stuff a lot more.
That could be like, for better or for worse. Like, have we planted a seed that doesn't need to be there?
Oh no. Like, I feel like I probably should start like doing at least face specific stuff. But yeah, it's all you guys. Once I come in here with a glowing face, you'll know.
Your face is glowing. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, thanks.
You have the skin of a teen.
Thank you.
I mean, you are technically a teen. 30 is teen.
30 teen.
30 teen. That's how old you are.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Here's to a whole other year together.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Very excited.
Well, geez Louise.
We covered a lot of ground here.
We didn't even talk about how much you love our dogs and every dog on your Instagram, I will say, Sammy is a wonderful follow for like lots of different content, but the dog content in particular.
Thank you.
Like your parents, or is it your sister who has the giant Great Dane?
My sister has a Great Dane. He is Harley Young Junio the Great on Instagram. Giant. He's like 6'4" on his hind legs.
I mean, it's terrifying. This dog is huge.
Massive. And such a love. Aww. My sister did a really good job.
But you're always with a cute dog.
Yeah. Well, I'm like convinced I'm like 60% dog. So
but isn't there something self-carry about dogs too for you?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
You like have a true connection with animals that I feel like not everybody has that vibe.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm pretty sure I have like a dumb animal brain closer to that than of like a person brain. That's like where like the like poor impulse control comes from. Just like you have a feeling, go do the thing.
I don't know. I think not having impulse control though it can be such a great quality. Like you're not censoring your feelings. You know what I mean? You're not blocking them off. And like sometimes it may lead to chaos. It
definitely helps you live in the moment.
For sure. And do things that a lot of people would stop themselves from doing. Like me over here.
You need worse impulse control, Kate.
Yeah, you got to let it loose, dude.
Okay. Well, it's going to come out soon. So
can't wait.
Get ready.
You guys get married in Las Vegas.
Dory and I.
I did get married in Las Vegas.
Right. I think it would. We cannot technically get married because we're both already
married.
Yeah.
Ah, shucks.
Yeah.
Well, geez, Louise. If you want to follow Sammy, where can people find you?
I think my most followable platform is Instagram. So it is @your_your_sam.
And do you know when Historical Roast is going to be airing?
They're saying like spring, summer 2019.
So look out for that on Netflix.
And if we haven't said it enough, you are the best.
Oh,
it's fantastic to work with you.
We love you.
We just adore you. And thank you for everything that you've done
you
with
guys.
Our show.
Oh, God.
And thank you for sitting down and doing this interview.
This was really fun.
Really great. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Should we just have Sammy on every week? What other secrets does Sammy have to reveal?
I'm honestly speechless. I am truly speechless. We love Sammy so much.
Sammy.
I feel like Sammy was already a listener favorite, and now they're just going even higher up on that
Sammy's
list.
Sammy's going to have their own fan club.
As they should.
I know.
Sammy is the best, and this podcast would not get made every week without them. So, Sammy.
Don't I know it.
You know we love you.
Kate, Dory, how did going through your to-do list go? Okay.
But you know what? It's going.
Okay.
I will say transferring all my to-dos just to Wunderlist, which is an app on my phone and computer, and giving up the notebooks has helped a lot. When I'm done, I just click a little thing and it goes like ding. And it's just all there. Everything is there. Grocery list, holiday to-dos. So I'm kind of putting my head down and still just kind of plucking away.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is planning your staycation going our previous convo?
It's going pretty well. It turned out that Matt thought the Christmas purge just happened on Christmas Day.
Oh. And not I was like a whole week?
And I was like, I think we're going to need more time than just one day.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. So the Christmas purge has been extended.
Good.
And then on Christmas, we're going to make the cinnamon rolls.
Great.
We're going to make a dessert to bring to your house.
Dory's been invited by my dad.
Much to Kate's chagrin.
I see Dory a lot. I'm thrilled that you're coming over. But my dad very eagerly was like, Dory and Matt should come over. for Christmas. Having never met you or Matt, I mean, he's gonna love you. So Dory Matt are very kindly coming to celebrate the holidays with my family.
We're very excited. And then I think we're gonna watch Mary Poppins because we got the screener for
it. My kids watched that this weekend.
So
sounds great.
Yeah. So I think that'll be nice.
What are you intending on this week as we head into the new year?
Well, I'm going to try to practice JOMO on New Year's Eve.
Is JOMO the new FOMO?
Yeah, the joy of missing out.
Tell me what you were excited to miss out on.
You know, I'm just not going to stress about like doing something on New Year's. Not that I ever am really like a big New Year's person, but I feel like it's one of those things where every year I'm like, oh, I should do something. The last couple years I've been in Palm Springs. So that has been kind of like, I haven't had that, but I'm going to be here this year.
Oh, I thought, oh, you didn't realize you were going to be in LA.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to be in LA. And so I don't want to be like, oh, is there a party I wasn't invited to? Or,
well, because also Instagram makes it,
yes,
makes the FOMO so painful. You look on Instagram and you're like, oh, nobody wants me around.
Yeah, totally.
And that's not at all true. It's just the feeling that social media leaves us. Thank you so much, social media.
So I'm going to do some JOMO and then I'm going to do something. I want to do something calming on New Year's Day. In Palm Springs, we usually make vision boards. So maybe Matt and I will make vision boards.
That'd be fun. I love to wake up and go for a hike on January 1st. I really love that. We've done that for a few years. It's great not waking up with a hangover.
Totally.
I am going to try to roll into 2019 with no resolutions, and not getting like, just not getting swept up in the feeling of like I'm supposed to have this big plan for the year for myself, and just try to experience unconditional love for myself and others. I don't know why I tacked that on there at the end, but I do mean that. Like, all I want to do is try to approach people from a place of love. Most people.
That is so nice.
Not everybody.
Yeah, seriously. All right, well,
listen,
it was great spending 2018 with you.
It was. Again, who knew? And you two listeners, we're so glad you're along for this ride.
Thank you.
You please call us. We need desperately to hear from you.
Yes, we love hearing your voices.
Validates us and fulfills us. Our number is 781-591-0390 and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And if you like the show, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend and or mention us on the social media outlet of your choice.
And we are hosted and produced by Dora Shafir and Kate Spencer, produced and edited by Sammy Junio with assistance from Lane Hammer. Thanks, bye.
See you in the new year.
Woohoo!